Hey, what's going on? Welcome to The Doug Show. My name's Doug Cunnington. Today, we're going to talk about viable side hustle options that are not reliant on Google SEO. We're also going to talk about three emails that I received recently that are related to blogging or content websites. Two of them, not so positive. The third one, quite positive. I was shocked that I got the email, and I won't share too many details of the person's site, nothing about the niche or anything revealing, but I got some pretty cool details. So we'll talk about those things. It's interesting to note, I just got back from a trip. We traveled to see three national parks. It's one of our quests is to go see national parks. We also saw the total solar eclipse in Ohio. A very small town called Burton, Ohio, near Lake Punderson. So folks that are familiar with the Cleveland area, if you happen to live in that part of the state, or if you've passed through, maybe you're aware of it. Super cool. I was able to take some photos and they turned out so much better than I would have expected. I made mistakes, but they still turned out quite good. I actually put a couple of them up over on my Redbubble site so you could actually order prints. I'm going to order some myself. They turned out so good. So that was super cool. One of the downsides with this travel is I got sick again. I started to catch a cold at the tail end of the trip, like the last few days. So it was no fun. I was coughing a lot. I still have a cough. This is the, I don't know, fifth or sixth time I tried to record this. I keep coughing. And, you know, we can work through it. We're going to work through it. We're going to do this. But it really changes things when you can't even talk to record the podcast. So don't get sick, people. I don't know what, I didn't sleep well a couple times when we were at the Airbnb or a hotel or something like that. And that's the thing that wears me down usually, is not sleeping well. So anyway, the reason why I wanted to record this episode is, you know, folks are scrambling. There's a lot of, confusion. There's a lot of disappointed people that have worked for years on their sites. Sometimes they had huge sites, large amount of traffic, teams, you know, working with them. Maybe they built up a company and they were doing what Google had told them to do. And basically they're not getting traffic anymore. And then there's other folks that were sort of on the cusp, or, you know, some people that send in emails, they've been working on the site for a little while and maybe they started to get a little traffic and now they're back to square one, and they may have been working on their site for, you know, years. So people are a little bit dismayed, confused on what to work on next. Other folks like me, my peers out there, other content creators who also, I mean, we're creators. We work on stuff as side projects. Sometimes it's our full-time thing. Sometimes we focus more on like this content creation portion of it. And, you know, there's a blend, there's a full spectrum, but some people are shifting to like Amazon influencer. Some people are like, I'm going to do some other thing. I'm going to focus on WordPress plugins or something like that. So there's many different options. We're going to go over a couple of them here, which I'll tell you, it's the usual suspects, right? It's the ones that you've heard of, the ones that can work, the ones where there are courses and there's established sort of industries supporting them and software. It's just most of the time we were talking about content websites. But I just want to point out there's obviously other things that you could work on. If you want to download the list with some additional items on the list, along with pros and cons and other details, I'll put a link in the description so you can get to it really easily. It'll just be, you know, basically a cheat sheet around side hustles, a place where you can kind of do a little bit more education, a little bit more learning, and then hopefully hop off and do some more research to figure out what you want to work on next. And the thing is, like, most people were just like me when I got started, had a full-time job, had other stuff going on. I was working on sites on the side. And that's typically what most of us are doing. We're doing this on the side in addition to other stuff. We'd love to do it full time. And eventually that's what happened for me and probably a lot of my peers, a lot of my other content creator folks that, you know, maybe we work on different stuff, but essentially like we ended up doing it full time because either we got laid off and we had no other choice and we really wanted to work for ourselves, or we ended up earning enough money that it surpassed our day job. And then you can go and work on your side hustle full time if you're earning enough from it and it's stable enough. And this is the thing at this point, like, is Google SEO stable? I don't think so. I don't think anyone really has much confidence that Google SEO traffic has any staying power. Far too volatile. Even, you know, the corporate SEOs, the folks that are more on the agency side, and maybe they're working more with small businesses and stuff like that versus affiliate sites or content websites. I think even those folks are nervous and uncertain about the reliability of Google SEO traffic. And I mean, it's very scary if you're like earning all your money and 90% of that comes from like Google traffic or more, right? Even if it's 50%, right? It could represent a huge liability for you. Okay. So number one, first email. I got this from David. I've always enjoyed reading advice from you. I have a question I hope you don't mind answering. For years, I wanted to start a blogging business model. I finally took the steps to enter this business. I purchased hosting, a domain, and even started writing articles. Then Google did what Google does and came out with another update. Just when I was ready to throw everything in and get started blogging, now this happened. I'm reading all these posts of bloggers that have aged websites, losing traffic and money. Obviously, someone that's just getting into blogging would be discouraged. Based on your years of experience blogging and what you know about this update, do you feel that blogging in niche sites is still something a person like myself should get into, or will it not be worth it with all of Google's unpredictable updates? So I did reply back to David, and essentially, in summary, so that I don't end up reading the whole full email, I said, no, I don't think you should really spend a huge amount of time doing what you thought you were going to be doing. Things changed too much in the last several years. But I did ask, what's your goal for blogging? Like, what did you want to accomplish? And if you wanted to share information and write and produce content online in the written form, blogging is the right thing to do. If you want to earn money on the side and get traffic from Google, it's too volatile and it's too inconsistent. If you end up blogging and ranking and you actually get traffic and you start earning money, there's no level of certainty that it has any longevity. So you might be putting in, you know, hours, weeks, months, years of effort that can literally go away overnight with no recourse. There's no one for you to call. Google does not care about you. They don't give a fuck about you one little bit. And I know I've actually heard some people like defend some of the talking heads on the Google side, right? It's like some of my peers are like, oh yeah, like the Google liaison is like nice guy, like trying to do a good job. It's a very difficult job. I'm sure Danny Sullivan is a really nice guy. The problem is when you work for a huge company like Google and you're, again, the talking head, the mouthpiece of the beast here, and they're fucking over, you know, millions of people and they're giving advice, right? Google's like, hey, do this thing. And like literally it's either bullshit and they know it's bullshit, or it's bullshit and they're just incompetent. And I have a video idea. Spencer Hawes actually gave me the idea. And they're not mutually exclusive here. Like, Google can be full of shit and be incompetent at the same time. But I have a video idea. So keep an eye out for that. Anyway, the point is, even if they are trying to do a good job, when you work for a huge company, I believe you kind of forfeit that. It's sort of like when I worked at my corporate job and I talked to some of my peers and friends and they're like, oh yeah, like my boss, my manager is so good. I would never want to let them down. And I'm like, you got to get it through your head. Like your manager's manager, they could be great people. They could look out for you. However, you go like a couple levels up, you're just a number. They don't care about you. You're just a number and they'll lay you off in a second. They'll try to give you as low a raise as possible. They try to pay you as little as possible and extract the most amount of value from you. So you can imagine, we don't even work for Google, right? Google is just like looking at us as completely disposable. So they don't care. Again, the point being, even if I'm sure Danny and whoever's on the spam team, like whoever the folks are, I'm sure they are nice personally. They're all humans trying to do their best and everything. But when you got the power of Google behind you and you're like, you know what, we're going to crush everything. And it actually doesn't matter to us who we're like just lying to straight up, giving information that's clearly not accurate. Like it doesn't even matter. There's no consequence for them. There's no consequence. So anyway, should you start blogging? If you just want to do it for fun, go for it. If you want to share, you want to write, that's cool. If you want to earn money, there's better ways to do it that take less effort, that are more reliable than some of the stuff that we're going to talk about today. So the next email is from Francis, and it was sort of in response to something that I mentioned in the last segment, and that is essentially a reply to David, right? So I said, hey, if you want to blog, you could treat blogging as a hobby. So Francis said, so if you ignore Google and maybe treat your blog as a hobby, you're in good shape. So that's what I said. Francis says this in response to that. So Francis says, treating your blog as a hobby, as both of us know, won't get you anywhere for earning a sustainable part-time or full-time income or any traffic. Perhaps you intended to say, or maybe you meant something else. No, actually, you got the meaning exactly right. By definition, a hobby is probably not earning any money. It's not an income-producing thing. If you're doing something and you're earning money, then it's like a part-time job or a side hustle or something else that indicates revenue generating activity. Hobby is something that you do for your leisure time. So when I say treat your blog as a hobby, that's exactly what I mean. Treat it as your hobby. You're not going to earn any money from it. If you think you're going to earn money from it, then you're misinformed. Times have changed. It used to be that way, but it's not really that way anymore. It accelerated quickly. Things change really fast. Francis further says, I believe all of us with some influence should unite as a big movement and group, especially those of us with 10 plus years of publishing content for a living, so things keep as accurate as possible, I think, in my humble opinion, which goes in hand with my second suggestion, which I'm not sure if I wrote here. Oh, the second suggestion is Spencer from Niche Pursuits did a YouTube video called Should You Start a Blog in 2024? And I think it was essentially about informing others who should start a blog and who shouldn't start a blog. And that was the main idea. So that was the second part from Francis here. So a couple things, right? He says, some of us with influence should unite as a big movement and keep things as accurate as possible. Okay, so while I do have some influence, I don't see, I'm extremely self-centered. I think if you listen to the show, you already know that, all right? It's with a good spirit though. Basically, I don't feel that responsibility to like try to keep everything as, I don't know what the fuck's going on more than other people, right? So we have a moving target and I'm not trying to guess. I think there's a lot of people still trying to sell stuff that maybe isn't worthwhile. And if it's worthwhile, we don't know for how long. Maybe you could say that for the last couple of years anyway. But the thing is, I don't feel the responsibility to try to guess what Google's doing or keep things as accurate as possible. That's a huge amount of responsibility, and I don't see myself holding that on my shoulders. If I thought I did, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night because Google is impacting so many folks. And, you know, what I can do is similar to what, you know, I've said in the past is like, you need to have an email list. You should be focusing on platforms where you are independent, essentially. You're not reliant on any one area. And there's always going to be some weak link in, you know, your business model. Even if you have, you know, a traditional business model, you still have to deal with like regulations and other external competition or external forces, maybe not even competitors, but just external forces. And that goes for any business. You just have to deal with that. There's always trade-offs. As far as, you know, Spencer's video, I think he did a good job on should you start a blog in 2024. My focus is not on blogging. So I'm not planning on starting a blog in 2024 or beyond. So while I might be able to add some details about it, I'm not going to be doing it. So I don't want to, you know, go super deep. But other than saying like, hey, if you want to share information on the written word, then a blog is the way to do it. There's other, you know, written formats you could do, but essentially like you could put it in a blog format and go from there. So I think I covered it pretty well. And the biggest part is I don't view myself as someone who has the responsibility to unite as a big movement in a group. Like that's just not my thing. I'm not a big group person. There's other community folks that are better at that, that have big communities and all that. You know, Ricky over at Income School, Alex at WP Eagle. There's a bunch of other of my friends that have like really strong communities, Carl Broadbent with Affiliate Gathering, but that's not my thing. I'm more of a lone wolf type. Although I like to hang out with all the folks, but I'm not pulling all that shit together. All right. So we have another email, and this is the third one. And then we'll get into some of the ideas, which funny enough, I haven't done many of the other ones, maybe only half or less. And a lot of them were, you know, very minor, but essentially, you know, I haven't tested those out, but I'll still talk about them briefly because you can go investigate, learn more. Before we get to the last email, we actually have a sponsor today, Stan Ventures. So I appreciate their support. Are you looking to supercharge your website's organic traffic? I'm thrilled to introduce you to Stan Ventures, your ultimate destination for top-notch SEO and link-building solutions. With a dedicated team of over 300 SEO and outreach experts, Stan Ventures is renowned for driving significant organic growth. They've propelled over 5,000 websites to the top ranks, and they're ready to do the same for you. Their approach isn't just about securing higher rankings. It's about ensuring your long-term success. I've personally experienced their services and was blown away with their straightforward approach and tailored strategies perfectly aligned with my needs. Stan Ventures offers competitive pricing starting at $625 per month for premium SEO services and $49 per link for backlink services, ensuring you get exceptional value for your investment. And I have tested out their services, though it has been a couple years. I'll be straightforward with you on that one. But I got some pretty cool links out there from them. So if you're ready to watch your website soar, check out stanventures.com. As an exclusive offer for my listeners and audience out there, you can enjoy a special 15% off all of their services. So all you need to do is use the code DOUG15, that's D-O-U-G-1-5, at checkout to take advantage of that discount. So don't miss out on the incredible opportunity to elevate your online presence with Stan Ventures. All right. So the last email here was in response to just one of my autoresponder emails out there. And if you're not on the email list, you could just go to nichesiteproject.com, hit the green button, enter your name and email, and you'll be on the list. So I got an email and it just says, hi, I hit 50,000 sessions per month today. Thanks for your help. And by the way, I've never corresponded with this person before. They were just on the email list. They watched a bunch of videos and they, you know, listened to the podcast and all that. So I asked for a little bit more information. This was sent on March 26th, 2024. All right. So this is just a few weeks ago. This is after the spam update, after the core update. So I was like, hey, why do you think that your site's doing so well? I'm mostly getting emails of people falling to almost zero. They're getting like no traffic and they're totally freaking out. The next email said, hey, this was on April 5th. It was like, hey, my Mediavine application was accepted this morning. My site is 4 years old. I spent the first 2 years of my site posting bad content and learning good photography. And I think that's part of the success of the blog. That's the images. And they also said they were hit with a core update in October of 2022. And the traffic dropped to almost nothing. And it turned out to be a Core Web Vitals issue. Basically, she listened to my show and others like it. She also noted some interviews with Olga Czar, who I'm going to chat with again soon, really helped out with the technical stuff. So she said she uses low volume keywords and she has 85% of her traffic is organic and she's basically crushing it. She's like, I have to do more work on social and emails and learning video, but she's absolutely doing a great job. And I can't give too many details about the site, so I am keeping it vague. She did share it with me and it looked fine. You know, photography was good and some of the other details all checked out and it was nothing like super out of the ordinary. Her story is the exception really these days. The one thing that I can mention and, you know, give it maybe sort of an example, not to reveal anything about her site, but I know Alex Cooper over at WP Eagle, he is working on a local site, a Spain oriented site. And I think it's called, I should look it up in a second. It's like Estepona something. I'll look it up. Let me pause here just for a second. I'll look it up because he says it and I've never said it out loud. And I feel like I may be making a fool of myself more than usual. Give me 1 sec here. Oh, I found it. It's estepona.life. I don't think the website's up yet at the time that I'm recording this, but the Instagram is out there. And I think there's a YouTube channel too. So check that out, estepona.life. So basically, Alex is doing this. If you focus on a locality and you're doing social and you're doing Instagram for the social, you're doing YouTube videos. I mean, Alex is a video guy. He's been doing YouTube for years. So it totally makes sense for him to go that route. But essentially, like the blog is like not even out there yet. He's doing other stuff first. So anyway, if you focus on a locality, you, especially if you live there or you're super interested in it or you're obsessed with it and you travel to that place often, then you have a very good advantage because you can take your own images, you can do your own videos. The traffic that you may or may not be getting from Google maybe doesn't matter as much. So let's get into some of these other side hustles that are not reliant on Google SEO traffic. Most of these are going to sound basically like businesses, but a handful of them are essentially just like other online businesses that you could focus on. They're digital in nature, but not all of them. So the first one here is just generally focusing on e-commerce. The word on the street is, although I haven't done any research on this, but the word on the street is like e-commerce was not really impacted so much by the spam update and the March core update. I hear, you know, local businesses or anything with like a shopping cart, anything that looked like e-commerce was in much better shape to the point where I've heard that people just put up like shopping carts, put like WooCommerce on their site and had a shopping cart to make it look like they were e-commerce. And apparently that helped some people. I'm sure Google is going to not let that fly, but you know, that was a speculation. So you can work on an e-commerce site, essentially, you know, you're selling stuff online. You could focus on advertising, where, you know, you're actually running ads on various platforms, or more straight up kind of social selling. I think if you focus on the social aspect and you're like, all right, I don't want to spend on advertising, you're kind of setting yourself up for failure, because at some point you're not going to be able to reach your audience. Any of the social media platforms has an example of when they changed the algorithm or generally made it impossible to reach your audience that you used to be able to reach for free. So you can, you know, do e-commerce on Instagram, Facebook, Etsy, I guess Pinterest. You could sell off your own website, your own platform. You can sell digital products. Some of these are going to blend together as I start just riffing on it, but you know, you can sell digital products as well. So let's say you're really good at Excel, you can sell Excel templates or lessons or whatever, right? Like, you could be creative on this stuff. Next is freelancing. So if you have a knack for graphic design, maybe you are good at video editing, you can go to a place like Fiverr, you can go to Upwork, you can go to other platforms and offer your services up. You could do it on those platforms. You could also, you know, focus on like your local area as well. So maybe you live in a community where you can go to like the Chamber of Commerce meetings. You can go and meet local businesses. You can go, I think there's a, I only went to it like once or twice, but it was like, it's called like 1 million cups, and entrepreneurs get together and they have coffee in the morning. Usually it's pretty early. I think I went to one of those and I want to say they started at like 6 or 6:30 in the morning. It was pretty early, and everybody, you know, went there before work and got all hopped up on caffeine. And then, you know, you just network and hang out. But the point is, if you have a specific skill, you might be able to help them out a lot. The hard part, if you go to a platform like Upwork or Fiverr, is there's so many other people there that you have to compete with. However, there's a huge marketplace of people that are trying to hire folks. So it's always a little bit of a trade-off. If you're trying to work in your local community, there's not nearly as many people looking for graphic design people that can work in Canva and that can produce stuff for them on a regular basis. If you go to Fiverr, you know, there's millions of people looking for that every day, but you have to compete with other hundreds of thousands of other folks that can offer the same thing. Sometimes at, you know, more competitive prices than you. Maybe they have more experience, but it's out there. So freelancing is an option. Number three on my list is online courses and workshops. So I really enjoy online courses. It worked out well for me as I iterated on some of the early work that I did. I did an ebook first and then turned it into a bigger course and then revamped it multiple times and iterated and changed it and then created other courses along the way. Nowadays, it's so easy to actually use a platform and launch a course. You can use like Teachable. I personally use Kajabi. You can go to more of a marketplace type like Udemy. The downside with Udemy is you can't charge as much typically, and they're always running sales. However, again, there's a huge marketplace out there of people that are looking to buy stuff. And I have purchased a handful of courses from Udemy, and they're very good. I actually got like, I think like 3 or 4 photography courses. Some of them were on like group portraits, some were individual professional headshot portraits, and they were like 10 or 15 bucks because, again, they put it on sale all the time. So there's a huge volume of customers out there, but you can't charge as much. If you sell your own course on Kajabi or Teachable, you can charge whatever you want. The margins are much higher, but you have to have your own customers, essentially. So that can be a little bit challenging. You do marketing through email is my favorite, but you could do it via podcast, or you can have a blog and maybe you couple that with YouTube and then you could sell through that, or you could sell through social media. Again, email is kind of my favorite. Next, this is local services. So you could actually do the old school thing that I did. You could do landscaping, you could watch pets, you could clean homes, you could do personal training, but essentially you could provide a service out there. And it's not ideal because if you are working a full-time job and you're like, oh no, I need to work like a few more hours here, going to cut grass around town or something like that, again, not ideal, but you can earn a pretty good chunk these days. You know, when I was cutting grass, man, I was probably charging way too cheap, but I was charging, when I first got started, maybe like $15 to cut someone's grass, and it would take me like an hour or something like that. It was good for me. I was like 12 years old, right? So it takes me hour and a half. I couldn't even get a job somewhere else, right? I couldn't get a job. And then if I did get a job, I'd get paid like minimum wage, like $5 an hour, right? $5 an hour back in those days. And then I'd have to pay taxes and other shit. And I would be earning like whatever, $3.50 an hour or something like that. So for me, I was like, that's great. Of course, later I started charging more and I understood like the supply and demand. And if I was like, I'm kind of busy, so I need to charge more, and I could like price myself higher. But basically local services, you could be creative. There's someone around here. They pick up the dog poop from people's yards, right? People are so lazy. They don't even want to clean up after their dog in their yard. So they'll come around and clean it up for you. Not the most glamorous job, but you could charge a decent amount and very low startup costs for that. I mean, really, like, you can get a little scooper thing from the pet store and that's all you need, really. And you can expand those. So the thing is, it sounds kind of shitty if you're going around literally picking up people's dogs' poop from their backyard, or you're cleaning houses or whatever, but like, that's the kind of stuff that you can scale, right? Like, you, if you're organized, you can hire people, you could pay them well, and you could be organized as far as like scheduling, making sure people show up on time and do a really good job. So it sounds horrible at first, but I mean, a lot of folks that are hard workers, they get the job done and then they move forward. They figure out how to expand or whatever they need to do. Next is physical products and handicrafts. So think like Etsy, but you can sell this locally. So in the towns that I've lived the last few years, there's always like a farmer's market or something on the weekends, especially during like the spring and summer and fall, not so much in the winter, but people will sell their little crafts. So people will sell little art pieces, knickknacks, jewelry, earrings, like they'll make candles, they'll make soap, whatever. So again, these are actual physical goods and you can go and sell them. You could sell them in person. You can sell them to local shops. Usually these days, most like downtown, small town areas will have shops that focus on local goods, and they maybe will buy whatever, 20 bars of your soap and put it on their counter and sell it from there. You'd also sell on Etsy or other online platforms as well. Of course, with that, you know, you have to deal with shipping, some other handling and that sort of thing. However, you're selling retail instead of wholesale prices. So if you do sell to like a local shop in town, whether it's direct or consignment, you know, they're taking a cut. So you have to sell at wholesale prices. But the point is, if you have like a little hobby of like making soap or candles or whatever, then you could sell your own physical goods. Next is drop shipping. So really goes hand in hand with the e-commerce, but in this case, like, you're not handling the goods. You're essentially, you know, getting the customers, and then a third party is doing the shipping. They're holding the inventory and handling all the fulfillment. So usually this is driven via advertising, maybe you could be creative in other ways to figure out how to get traffic and sales going on. But the cool part with drop shipping is you don't actually purchase the goods. So you don't have to have capital tied up in your inventory, like sitting at your warehouse waiting to be sent. So that is the big pro. Next is consulting. So if you have a background in a specialized area, maybe it's operations, maybe it's project management like me, maybe you're a fitness professional, or maybe you have a background as a dietitian or something like that, you can offer consulting services. It's really great to sort of figure out your overlap. Like if you could be a dietitian that focuses on fitness for busy folks that are interested in fitness, but they're busy professionals. Like maybe you partner with a physical trainer and you're like, okay, I'll refer people to you that need fitness training, and you refer people to me that need help with their diet. So for example, you can speak at industry events, but maybe not specifically in your industry. Maybe it's adjacent. So if you do have a dietitian background, then maybe you go to a fitness event where it's mostly personal trainers, and then you could talk about something that they're familiar with and that they're interested in, which is diet, but you're not a direct competitor, or vice versa, right? The fitness person can go and talk to the dietitians as well. Next one and last one for today is subscription boxes, maybe like specialty foods. So these were a lot more popular, or I heard a lot more about them a few years ago, but they're still very successful. In fact, there's someone in town here in Longmont that sells like local Colorado goods, and they send them all over the country. And it was so successful that they created another one for another state. And they do the same thing. I'm not sure if they have like a fulfillment center out in the other state, but it works so well. So essentially you can create a subscription box or a specialty food box, and it's this like stuff you're into most likely. So it could be specifically curated of things that you like, and it could be for literally any niche or counterculture or something specific. So I've seen these for beer, and it could be like European beers or all Belgian beers, and like you curate those styles, and there could be some legal things that you have to do to be able to ship alcohol, maybe even food. But some of them are much easier. Like maybe you're into writing and journaling. So maybe it's pens and specialty journals, and you could put those together, or things related to it, right? So it could be like things for a journaler, or I'm just looking around my office, or it could be a guitar player, right? So maybe you curate specific guitar strings for acoustic guitars, and you have special picks and a couple other things like that. Maybe they're, you know, artisan special items that, you know, you go out and find, and almost every box is sort of one of a kind because maybe the picks are hand carved out of a special wood. So they're all just a little bit different, not like mass manufactured. So that's a way to look at it. And the thing is, if you're obsessed with a certain thing and you're already consuming those things, then it makes perfect sense for you to take it to the next level and like share that with other people. I think I've seen this for, I'm trying to remember what it was. It was an ad on Instagram that would pop up for me. It wasn't quite right for me, but it was like a little specialty box of, I think it was like outdoor items. So a lot of times it was like a pocket knife, a compass, some other thing you could use outside, and a cool water bottle. And it was a combination. So you could imagine like if you went to a specialty outdoor store like REI and you like walked through and found like some of the coolest stuff that they have in there, you know, you can have a quarterly box, and maybe each box has like 3 to 5 things. So you could imagine you go to a store like REI or Scheels or something like that. You find like 20 things that you think are really cool. And then you can work with those items and, you know, again, curate the boxes, figure out all the mechanics of it. But those are my ideas. Those are some things that you can do that are, some are online. Some of them are more on the side. Some of them are in real life. Some are physical goods. Some of them are actual physical services in your local area. And they're all viable. Like, none of these are brand new. None of them are especially the best one. None of them are the worst. There's going to be some that make more sense for you specifically. And it's an interesting little challenge we have now. A lot of us were saying, hey, you know, create a content website. Like, it's literally one of the easiest ways to start working, start creating something from scratch and get traffic. But things have changed in the last few months, in the last year or so. They've changed enough where many of us are just saying, hey, if you want to start a blog, do it for fun, but it's probably not going to be the way you're going to earn a lot of money. And even if you do, it's so inconsistent, it's so volatile that it's hard to rely on. So if you want to check out the list, if you want to download the guide, which is it's a link to a Google Doc, because I want to be able to change it in the future. I used to do these as a PDF, but then it's stuck, right? It's permanent. And I want to go and update it and change it over time. So that's why I made it a Google Doc. So you can sign up. We'll put a link in the show notes here. Thanks a lot. Thanks to the people that emailed me. And if you have any opinions, if you agree, you disagree, shoot me an email, feedback@doug.show, or you could leave a comment over on the YouTube side. So thanks a lot. Thanks for dealing with my coughing today. This was a real struggle, and we'll catch you on the next episode.